Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our
Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me like a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Why aren't people interested in hearing this? Why would they ignore that story? How can it be that when somebody says, "The Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth has done something to fix something for you, to give you a glue to hook you back into God again," why would anybody not want to hear that story? And yet we know it's true. Keep your religion to yourself. I never argue politics or religion, people will say. Your faith is private. Don't talk about that out in public where you are. Just keep it to yourself. As if somehow the story of the Christian faith is nothing more than some sort of a morality. Some sort of a, let's all be nice, let's try hard to be good, and if you want to live a certain way, you live that, and if somebody else wants to live another way, let them live that way. How can it be that good news doesn't sound good? It's part of the nature that we are born with, that we want to be king or queen of the castle. We want to investigate, study, and try and figure out how life goes. We want to try to make sure everything goes just the right way, and we think we can be in charge of that. Now, certainly Jesus doesn't come and write a check to fill in all the overdrafts that we have. Certainly, he doesn't come and do our job at work so that we can stay home and sleep in late. Certainly, on this earth, we have obligations and responsibilities to our families and to our work and our friends. And it might be that we confuse our relationship with God to our relationship with other people. We are expected to do good work. We are expected to be honorable people, but that's not the essence of being Christian. The essence of being Christian, as we talked about it again just in Bible class, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, all our strength, and love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Well, that's the rub, because it's pretty hard sometimes to love our neighbor. It's pretty hard to tolerate and put up with what's been done, or what's being done, or the threats that come. And we might get discouraged. We might just say, why bother? That's what our old sinful nature does. It just pulls back and says, I've tried with them. I'm not going to try with them anymore. We may be right that there is someone who is going to be so resistant to us that we simply have to leave it alone. But we're not the first ones who have tried to do what's right. In the good Christian sense of the word, not just trying to accomplish something, but seeking to live that out. And our aims and our ideas have not all worked. We have a man in the Old Testament, a servant, says, from the womb of the father, or from the womb of my mother, the Father Almighty God has knit me in my mother's womb, has made me to be a servant for him, has made me to be a servant, and I've worked hard at it. Didn't work. You see, after God had taken people away from Israel because of their wickedness, and some remnant was delivered to live in Babylon, God had said, I'm going to bring you back. And this servant who is talking here says, I'm the one that God appointed to tell everybody, let's get ready to go back home. And nobody will listen. I can understand the same thing when I say, let's proclaim Christ as Savior. Let's gather for worship. Let's gather for communion. Let's gather to live out our Christian life. And there are many who listen and do nothing with that. Let's get ready to go home. Well, it wasn't quite just neutral. Because if you were living in southern Iraq and you were one of those who had been taken away from Jerusalem where your parents or grandparents had been, you were under someone else. So let's pack up our bags and go home was revolution and rebellion. And even if God himself said, I'm going to bring you back home, and the servant says, let's get ready, people were hesitant and put him at the margin. This section of Isaiah tells the story of the return from exile, like the return when Moses led Israel out of Egypt. And you might remember from Sunday school that when Moses was about 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian man beating up on one of his Hebrew friends and relatives. So he struck that Egyptian man and killed him and buried him in sand. Thought nobody saw it. The next day, he sees two fellow Hebrews fighting with each other, and the one says to him, what, you're going to kill one of us too? And then he has to flee. Not seen as the leader. He wasn't seen as the leader 80 years later, or 40 years later, when he came back as an 80-year-old. And they said, you're making trouble for us, Moses. It would have been better if you didn't come. We don't need deliverance. We rather like the cucumbers and the onions and everything we used to have instead of this manna that we get out in the wilderness. God's servants have not always been met with joy and jumping up and down. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they were on the margin, and Hosea and the others as well. People didn't want to listen to them. Just be quiet. And instead of hearing that God was there to love and to care, they only heard a God who was making demands. A God who was finding fault. That was their view of God. We haven't done enough. That's why God won't love us. And so the pressure of what kind of God do we have, as if we have God, got to this one who said, I know God set me aside to tell this message, but it's not working. And God comes back to him and says, wait a minute. Your job is not to decide how something is going to grow. Your job is to plant the seed. Your job is to tell the good news that I'm going to bring people back from here to the land of Israel. And it happened. It happened in 540, 539 before Christ. A whole bunch of them came back and resettled in Jerusalem. And now John is telling us about another servant. Now this one, God himself in human flesh, coming to bring restoration. And our Lord has to say, where are the other nine who were healed of leprosy? Is only one man, a Samaritan, a foreigner, come back to thank me? Those who gather around when this paralyzed man is given the chance to walk again, and all they can do is grumble and say, the guy's not supposed to carry his mat on a Sabbath day. They couldn't see God's grace and his mercy. Or the man who was born blind, John 9. Jesus gives him his sight back. And all the people around can do is say, this man's an utter sinner. Why would we want to listen to him? Couldn't see that God had restored the sight through Jesus. Or the granddaddy of them all, when Lazarus is brought forth from the grave. And in the very next chapter of John, it says, the leaders of the Jews wanted to put Lazarus to death because he had the audacity to tell people that he got brought forth from the grave, as if he should keep silent about it. The thank yous went quickly away. Our Lord hangs on a cross, abandoned by all but a few close friends. Most are all of the disciples gone. The 5,000 he fed, gone. Cries out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he takes our place. As he suffers for the belligerence and the ignorance and everything that goes into us saying to God, we want nothing to do with you. You're the enemy. You make demands we can't fulfill. Our Lord knows that's not the way it is. But he knows that's what the old sinful nature would talk about. And he dies anyway. He takes the Father's wrath on himself so that he can free us. So he can make us his servants who now are restored to being able to tell that good news again. When Jesus breathes that glue of the Spirit on the hearts of the disciples, and when it's breathed on us in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, we're put at peace. That's who we are. That's the way we are right now. Completely at peace with the Almighty God in Christ's death and resurrection. Able to praise and thank him. Able, when we get discouraged and get down and wonder, why even bother? Able to hear once again, but I'm with you. You're doing my work. You're loving people I died for. And so as we worship, as we're fed with his body and blood, as we remember our baptism, as we hear the good news proclaimed, we hear God saying, I'm with you to do my task. This servant here in Isaiah was told, you think I just want you to bring back the remnant, the diaspora that was scattered abroad when Jerusalem was burned down? No, I want you to tell the message to all nations. And how does our Lord end the Gospel of Matthew? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe and obey everything I've told you to do, because I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And we who come from all of those other nations are the ones who are the recipients. We're the ones who are here because somebody said it. Somebody told it. Somebody talked it. Somebody shared that good news, and our forebears, or we ourselves, were touched by that and given that peace and set on our feet once again. Every time we praise and thank our Lord, every time we hear the forgiveness of sins that comes to us, every time he feeds us, this is my body, this is my blood, we can be once again touched by that Spirit, held ever closer to him, and able to rejoice that as we live our lives in this world, our God would not want us to look just at what's wrong and what's not working, but at the many things that are working, the many ways in which we share in a fellowship in this congregation and share in fellowship with many other Christians, and have him heal our hearts and restore us to start again, to live out that joy that we have as being children, not kings and queens, but princes and princesses who are gathered in his name and in his power. And so the Lord says, everybody from all nations are going to come finally and bow down to the Almighty God. And we know that that day will come. when we stand before him and when we hear that crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.